Our scripture reading is Luke 17:11-19. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, today's our fourth Sunday in Lent. Thus, we blew out 4 candles today. We have 3 more Sundays, and it will be Easter. 1, 2, 3. Yep, that's right. Quick math. I took math a couple times in college, so same class, but so somebody might want to check my math. About 4 months ago, I was invited to be a part of a pastor study group here in Lebanon. Pastor Neil Wilkinson of White Oak Pond Cumberland Presbyterian Church, say that fast 3 times in a row, invited me to be a part of it with some other pastors locally. And so we meet once a month. After going over study material to prepare, we meet, we kind of have conversation about what it is we learned and as it relates to ministry. One of the questions that Neil warms us up with, right, and he asks this question every time we get together, he asks, what spiritual practices have been fruitful or not for us in the last month? And that's a great question when you consider for us as pastors, but Christians, all the different ways we are attempting to encounter God in our lives, right? Through worship and prayer and scripture reading and meditation and on and on. And so in this fourth Sunday of Lent, I want to stop and I want to ask you all a very similar question. I know some of you all have participated in the Lenten study that we've been doing with Adam Hamilton. Some of you have been doing it in your Sunday school classes. Some of you have been doing it on Wednesday mornings in the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., right, 6 p.m. And so many of you with the scripture passage this morning have said, "Hey, I think we talked about this last week, this passage." So some of you all have been participating in that and enjoying it. Some of you, because of Lent, chose to give some things up in order to have a good spiritual practice in Lent. Some of you have added something. Maybe you added a discipline. My daughter, she came home last weekend from UMKC, told us all about how she, during the season of Lent, has been fasting. And she turned me on to this great podcast that talked about the historical practice of fasting during Lent from morning till evening and eating in the evening. And that was new news to me, that used to be a very common Lenten practice, was to fast all day until evening. So let me pause, and I want to ask you all today, and Aubrey's going to be my assistant today. Aubrey's got the microphone, and so you just kind of need to raise your hand, and she'll come to you. What practices during Lent have been particularly helpful for you? So if some of you all just want to share, raise your hand. Aubrey, go ahead and stand up there. And who can share what you've been doing for Lent that's been helpful? Over here with Vanessa.
I have been trying to read my Bible more often, and it's I like how it's tying in with our studies right now, and it kind of makes a picture and pulls it all together beautifully.
That big picture helps. Very good. Thank you. Who else? Something you've been doing for Lent been particularly helpful? Way back there. Get to it, Aubrey. Aubrey, you're in track, don't you? Come on.
No.
No. She's coming around.
Are we supposed to stand up?
Oh, you're fine. You can stand up.
Oh, sure. Can you see me?
It's a short joke.
I am really enjoying the Lenten study, and I haven't always done the Lenten study, so I am enjoying that, and that's giving me insight.
You're doing the morning one or the evening one?
Morning.
Morning. Very good. Anybody else? Something that's been particularly helpful to you during Lent? Okay, well, that's a good warm-up, because I'm gonna end the service this way, too. So y'all got some time to get charged up. Thank you. Can we give Aubrey a hand for being a great, yeah, just such a wonderful job, Aubrey. My Lenten practice has been very beneficial to me as well in some unexpected ways. I decided I would spend 5 to 10 minutes each day praying on the goodness of God. Meditating on the goodness of God, just kind of starting out and just, you know, okay, God, you are so good. You are so good. And just meditating on that and seeing how it unfolds. I really wanted it to help me just have a spirit of thankfulness for each day. That was really important to me, just a reminder. I'm excited to share the practice has done that and even more. It has been helpful in ways I just didn't imagine. The surprising effect, I would say, is actually a deepening of the well for me, a deepening capacity of thankfulness in my life. There have been times where I've just been meditating on the goodness of God in my life, and I've just been moved to tears, just reflecting on how good God's been to me. And this deepening of the well carries on throughout my day. It just helps me in surprising ways be looking for the goodness of God as it unfolds before me, sensing God's goodness in things that I have often taken for granted, just taken them for granted. And taking the goodness of God for granted can be the residual effect of living a faithful life sometimes, if we're not careful. When you attempt to live out scriptural principles in your life and honor God, the faith life will bring about a reward in you and around you throughout all your life. It's not magic, right? It's not magic that brings about this work of God, this goodness of God in our lives. It's the benefit of godly character bearing fruit in your life. But even those with godly character must be careful not to forget the source, to forget the power, to forget where the strength comes from. Because it can happen all too easily, forgetting the source of our abundance and character. Do you find yourself at times forgetting the source of that goodness and that character? This is a story of the 10 lepers and Jesus. This encounter with Jesus actually teaches two lessons that you want to be careful not to miss. A lesson for individuals and a lesson for faith communities. We're a faith community. Jesus encounters 10 lepers on his way to Jerusalem, outside of a small village, not far from Jerusalem. Leprosy is a phrase that the Bible uses, really encompassing many different skin diseases, many different things. Skin diseases were common. They were kind of common in Jesus' day, and so it oftentimes may have not been the leprosy that we know about today. They really probably used the word leprosy to encompass like many different skin diseases. And you know, what they had was they had these community bathhouses. And so people would utilize the community bathhouses. People would have bassinets in their homes. So you might pour a pitcher of water into your bassinet. You might kind of wipe yourself down in that way, sponge bath, so to speak. In Jesus' day, it was believed that leprosy may be contagious, though that's not the leprosy we know today. Like, leprosy is not contagious. But they often talk about it in Scripture as if it is. So if you were a Jewish person and you began to show signs of leprosy, you were supposed to go to the local priest, and the local priest would diagnose you, kind of like a doctor would. And if the priest diagnosed you with leprosy, then for the sake of the community, you were expelled from your household and from the community. And it was common for these expelled lepers to pack together outside the city limits where the families and others would have mercy on them and leave them food and supplies for survival. This was actually the phrase used by the leprous group on Jesus when they encountered him. They simply said to him, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy." The Greek word used by the lepers was aleo. And the word is translated in the NIV as pity, but may also mean compassion or mercy. Pity, compassion, mercy. I doubt they cared exactly which insinuation Jesus took by the word, only that he... Check, check, check. There, see, I'm back, right? Back? Still not back? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Oh, there I am. There I am. Now I'm back. The ghost in the machine sometimes presents itself. Thank you. So maybe they knew he had healed others, and they were begging him to heal them, right? Jesus, we know you have the power to heal. Maybe they wanted food or wine or water, knowing that he could miraculously provide all things and was good in that way. What's interesting is that Jesus does nothing immediately. He does nothing in the immediate. All he says to the 10 lepers is, go and show yourselves to the priests now, right? Because they're like, Jesus, have mercy on us, because you've got to stay at a distance. That was kind of a leper rule, right? You had leprosy, you stayed away from people. And so Jesus is like, go and show yourselves to the priests back in your village, right? So if the priest could pronounce you unclean and could expel you, then you had to visit the priest again in order to be pronounced clean and healed and to be restored back into the community. This is what you had to do. And so the lepers begin their short walk into town to show themselves to the priests, and along the way they are healed. They are healed. This is the first lesson. The first lesson is that Jesus has the power to heal in our lives. All we are called to do is to be faithful and follow after Jesus, to follow the commands of Jesus, what he asks of us. And so for the 10 lepers, following Jesus meant obeying his command and going to the priests, which is exactly what they did. And so they're blessed for their obedience and their healing. And yet, there is only one of the 10 that goes back to thank Jesus for his mercy. Only one. So the second lesson is one for faith communities. The one leper that returned to Jesus was a Samaritan, not a Jewish person. And we are told that this town that they lived in bordered Samaria. Samaritans had Jewish lineage in their veins, and had become a mixed race of people over time, much like, I mean, Americans today. You know, we have many different nationalities in our veins, right? And so this was true of their blood as a Samaritan, but it was also true of their religion. It was true of their understanding of God and their religious practices. They saw God differently than the Jews on the other side of the border. And they had a natural disdain for each other, the Jews and the Samaritans. And yet these outcasts found a way to band together with one Samaritan who was likely an outcast from his community as well. It was their brokenness that brought them together. But in Jesus' story of the 10 lepers, it is not the Jewish people who come back to him and say, thank you. It was only the one Samaritan that did this. this is not just a lesson about healing. It's a lesson about a nation, and especially the leadership of that nation. It's a lesson about a people who had taken the miracles of God for granted, the goodness of God for granted over time. It is only the person outside of the Jewish faith that returns to give thanks to God for the act of great mercy in his life. This story is a lesson about faith communities that get complacent in thankfulness to God and celebrating who God is within their lives. God's abundance, his generosity, his mercy, his compassion, taken for granted amongst faith people. This story within the Gospel of Luke is a foreshadowing. God is about to open up his salvation to all people through his Son, Jesus Christ. Where God's compassion and his mercy and his salvation has been taken for granted, he will find new people to bless, which is what is about to happen with Christ and salvation. It is about to open up beyond the Jewish people and into all the world. I believe this is just the danger of affluence in our lives. Generally speaking, faith people become disciplined people. I mean, that's the goal, is that we would know discipline. And faith people can benefit from the strength of their faith and the lessons of Scripture. We just benefit from them. We learn the importance of hard work, being smart about money, our giving, our saving, our spending, learning to balance those things out. And over time, we can quietly begin to develop a sense of almost kind of personal pride, in who we have become and all that we've attained. Look what I've done. Look what I've become. We can develop a sense of expectation that all the good we have has been supplied to us because of what we've done, and it'll always be there. It's going to be there with each new day. I just keep working hard, keep doing smart things. Good things will keep happening. After all, isn't that what life kind of owes us when we do our part? And so this is a spiritual lesson that a young person can't fully receive yet, right? I mean, you got to learn this one over time. It's the kind of lesson that a long life of opportunity affords you. But an older faith community that recognizes the challenges of choosing thankfulness and appreciation, letting this be a daily choice of staying humble in that way towards God, they have much to offer their community. Much to offer their village, a better way to train up younger people within the church as well. That's the lesson the Samaritan leper, provides us as a faith community. That's his lesson to us this morning. In 1 month, our church is, we're going to start this Wednesday night opportunity, right? I mentioned it in the announcements. I said I was going to talk more about it. It's for us as a church. It's for you to participate in. It's also for our community. It's for our neighbors and your neighbors. And it's a way we hope to connect with people who might not normally show up here on a Sunday morning. It's going to be a four-week experiment that our children and family ministry team is piloting and saying, hey, let's try something different and see how this works. And then come back and kind of talk about it, what went well and what didn't. And so we're going to have this community meal as we begin, and then we're going to have a short worship service, you know, under 30 minutes right after the meal, and then we're going to have classes for both children and adults to participate in, some different things. I will teach a parenting class. I'm going to teach on parenting, and I've got a couple teaching certificates. I've talked about the Enneagram before, but it's going to be Enneagram-based, which is personality style. And so based upon your personality style, you parent differently. I mean, come on, you've been at the games and you've thought, oh my gosh, that parent's out of their mind right now. What are they doing? I'd never, right? Well, it comes from their personality type. It's just, that's how we are. And so when we can kind of lock in on that, we can figure out how our kids kind of trigger us, you know, in their behavior so that we don't act like children too in our behavior, which happens. So it's going to be a great class. It's going to be 4 weeks. We're going to advertise Facebook, banners, other opportunities. Our hope is to see some parents come to this who maybe don't have a church they belong to, And maybe they'll experience the love and mercy of God through our church as a part of this. One of the ways they will experience this is through their encounter with you, if you choose to come and be a part of this on Wednesday nights. The kids ministry, they're going to need help. They're going to need people who have done that safe gathering certification or who are willing to do it and who will be a part of these kids' lives that come from the community. The kitchen crew is going to need your help with the meals and the setup and the cleanup. And really, really, just your pleasant disposition is what we will need as new people come and you walking up and introducing yourself and saying thank you for being here today and we're so glad you're here to invest in your kids. Like, that's a great thing, and we as a church just want to support that as you rally around your kids, be a better parent. But I also, so those are some ways we can all help. I also have a couple unique ways that you can help. As I said, we're going to have this 25-minute worship service right after dinner, before people go to classes. We'll have some music at the beginning of it, and then we want a 7 to 10 minute lesson, just a really short lesson, not offered by a pastor, but offered by you all as lay people. Vanessa Rubel is the lay leader of our church. Vanessa and I have been driving to Springfield one day a month. We've been doing a full day training. It's called Adaptive Change, an Adaptive Change Workshop. And it's to help churches, because we live in a different world now and things evolve so quickly. And so how do we create ministries that are new and creative and innovative that help reach into the community, help people learn to be faith people in a new day? And so Vanessa and I, we've signed up for a year of this, one whole day a month. We're going down, and after a year, Vanessa and I will actually train up a group of an adaptive change group here in our church who will begin to kind of address the adaptive challenges we have before us. So it's not just Vanessa and I. It's a group of people looking at ways we can do some different ministry, do things differently to reach a new generation of people. Part of our adaptive change class, each time we meet, does something like glory sightings. We call them glory sightings. A glory sighting is the same thing as a God sighting. I know Marcia has talked about in some of the different things she's done about what's your God sighting that you've had in this last week. And they both simply mean this. Glory sighting, God sighting. How have you seen the power of God working in your life lately? How have you seen the power of God working in your life lately? And how are you thankful for that, right? And so in this class, each time we meet, Vanessa and I have to share one way that we have seen God working in our lives that we're thankful about. That's what I'm looking for with our Wednesday night experience, with that little 7 to 10 minute slot after worship. I would like a different person each week to share a scripture passage that relates to it and a way that God has been working in your life. Your God sighting, your glory sighting. This God sighting serves as a witness to God's goodness for our church. This is our public witness, but it also is a witness to anybody who's a new guest, that we as a body of people are thankful and we find courage to stand up in front of one another and to share the things that we're thankful for when it comes to God. And so I would like you to pray about that. I'd like you to pray about that. Do you have something to be thankful for? Something that you would want to share? That would be a powerful, courageous gift to offer your community, but also your village, that demonstrates the heart of the Samaritan. That we will be like the Samaritan in our love of God, in our love of Jesus. So you should let me know. If you kind of feel like God has placed something in your heart to be able to share so that you can do that. Now, I know as we kind of wrap up here, I know minds are racing now, right? Like I can see the smiles out there. Some of you are really thinking about this. I don't want to waste that momentum. I want to end on that momentum. I want to end our time together this morning by not missing an opportunity for us as a community to be thankful people. This is a congregational response. And so let's take some time right now to share with each other what God is doing in our lives that we're thankful about. Now, you don't. This isn't 7 to 10 minutes. This is not a test run, right? This is not a, what do you call that when you, like you're like Dancing with the Stars. You got to go and audition. Yeah, this is not an audition. This is not a 3-minute audition. This is just a less than 30-second way that you're just thankful for God, what he's done in your life. And so I will have my assistant, Aubrey, again, stand up. And when you've got something that you're thankful about today, raise your hand and share it with everybody. Over here, over in the choir area.
I'm thankful for Sue Bolander and the idea that she brought to our circle last month, just before Lent was beginning, and it was to take a hymn each day and read through that hymn as if it were a message from God for us, and to find that part and meditate on that. And it's been a wonderful experience through Lent so far, and I'm just thankful for then United Women in Faith and for Sue bringing that to us so the community is growing.
Thank you. Wonderful. Who else? Who has something to be thankful for today? Over here. Watch your step.
I'm thankful for the Sunshine class.
Your Sunday school class?
Sunday school class. They are wonderful.
Where do you all meet?
We meet down in the yellow room downstairs.
Down in the fellowship hall area?
Yes.
Do you guys let new people come or not?
Well, we have to vote on them, you know.
Right. We're Methodists. We got to vote on everything, don't we? Yeah.
They have to audition, Betty said.
Gotcha. Thankful for the Sunshine class. And they're always looking for new members if you want to join.
We affectionately refer to that space as the bunker.
The bunker? Down under. Right. Yeah, that's where we want to go if there's a tornado is right there. Who else? Who else is thankful for something this morning? Yeah, over in the back here.
I'm thankful for how welcoming this church has been to me and involved me in so many ways that I can grow with God.
Very good. We're thankful you're here too. Yeah. Who else thankful for something this morning you want to share? Attitude of gratitude. Oh, here we go.
I'm thankful that Pastor Jim's come to our church to revive us. We needed it big time.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Anything else you want to be thankful for today? Oh, for my wife? Yeah, I'm thankful for my wife. Yeah. We're all thankful for my wife. That's right. Yep. Anyone else? Well, we should be thankful for one another and thankful for our community and thankful that God is reviving and working within us and that he has given us the season of Lent to prepare our hearts and our lives for his Son who has been so good to us. And so that is it. Would you join me in that prayer? Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. You are so good to us. You have shown us such mercy and compassion and kindness, and you have filled our lives with good things. And Lord, sometimes we get distracted and hard things happen and we go through hard seasons and we just need something like this to remind us that you are good and loving and caring and are finding ways to let your mercy be known to us in new ways every day. We, your people, love you and thank you for your goodness and for your kindness. Father, help us to find new and fresh ways to live out this thankful life, that it would not just be something on Sunday morning that we would do at the beginning and end of a sermon, but it would be something we do as individuals each day, that it would be something we do as a community, that we find new ways as a community of Christians to demonstrate our thankfulness and gratitude for the life that you have provided us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship and to be together this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.